Blog Talk Radio.
Sometimes I hear that song and I could just let it play and not even do a podcast. But good evening. Good evening, podcast audience. This is co-producer for Hodge the Hodge Podcast. And tonight, as always on Sunday evening, we have our very own Hour of Power. Without further ado, I'm going to turn this microphone over to our very own Messenger Rondaya. Good evening, my brother.
Good evening, my brothers and sisters. And once again, it is a pleasure and an honor to be with you here today, that we can expound and get in tune with the God that's in us. Tonight, I just wanted us to just examine for ourselves just some of the scripture that we've all been hearing throughout our lives and stuff, and just to give us a different perspective to look at it so that we can see, because people have a tendency, because we're not saying the same thing that they say, that we are crazy or whatever they want to call us and stuff. But I just wanted to take this opportunity to show us how just the interpretation of the scriptures that men have written regarding their experiences with God, if we were to take those scriptures and examine them, and then we can see how it all ties into who we are and whose we are. It is important for us to know that. This is something that we've always spoke about regarding it's so important for us to know. And it's important for us to understand the things that are around us and why they are happening, and what we can do to change them. Because it has already been set up that we have the power to do it, but we fail to exercise our abilities because of our limited thinking and what we've been told to who we are. And I just want to start this podcast off by letting everyone that might hear this, whenever they might hear this, know that they are special. That they are special because of whom they really belong to and who they really are. And we've got to stand boldly on that, knowing that we are part of the Creator. As the movie Scarface said, we've got to understand that we all put this together. And because we put this together, we have say-so and how each day is going to be. And the most beautiful thing about it is you've got say-so and just you. Your say-so is for you. And whatever it is that you say-so with regards to each and every day, you have the power to make it be. It is just that simple. You have the power to make it be. And we've got to start walking in that faith, in that knowing that we have power. We're not just some mere human being just walking around here following some plan that some mysterious being in the sky has set up. That being that they are referring to is within you. That spirit dwells within you, and that spirit is what gives you the authority to do just what it is that you please to do. But you've got to know this. And you've got to start applying it to your life. And as you start to apply it to your life, you will begin to see things more clearly. Things that we've taken for granted because we were dealing in the subconscious state that we didn't recognize that we did. We've got to understand that the things that are going on around us, they're going on around us because these are the things that we call forth. And one of the things we must come to understand, sometimes we call stuff forth that doesn't seem to show up when we want it to show up. But the only reason why it's not showing up is because of us. Not because of anything else. Nobody can block you. The only thing that can block you is you. And so this is why it's important for us to be of sound mind. And this is why it's important that if it is something that we truly want, that we have spoken into existence, we have to stay on that path. And what I mean by that is, and just using as an example, you can't say today I want $10 and then say tomorrow you want $20. Because now the universe is working for you. And once again, I'm just using the simplest illustration just to let you know what it is that I'm referring to is we've got to have that mindset. We've got to have that mindset that this is what it's going to be, and I'm trusting and knowing that it's going to be. And we've got to keep that faith that that will happen. And you will see it come to existence. If we all just take a moment and stop and think about some of the things in our lives that have happened in the last 2 weeks. If we really stop and narrow it down and re-examine how it went, because sometimes with the hustle and bustle of this world, we tend to lose sight and things just happen and we keep moving and we don't recognize what it is that we have done. And so I just wanted us to be able to expound, and when I say us, all of us, to be able to expound on just how we can see a change, how we can see God at work. Or before we were kind of just seeing what we thought to be this secret guy somewhere, kind of like Santa Claus every once in a while dropping in on us and giving us stuff or doing stuff for us. But hopefully now that we have been given some knowledge on who we really are, is there things that we can see different that we didn't see this way last year or the year before last? Does anybody have any illustrations on some of the things? And not to cut her, but Sister T came up with an example of God at work. And when she spoke about God at work, if anybody remembers the story, it was her. But even though it was her, she kept saying that she could feel God at work. When she did the gesture, it was something on the inside of her. Not something up in the sky at the mountaintop. It was something that was inside of her that started working. And this is what, in one of the scriptures, I believe it was Brother David that said it was like fire shut up in my bones. And that's an example of the Spirit just at work inside you. So it's important for us, and I just can't say it enough, but that we have to understand, in order for us to achieve what it is that we truly want, we have to begin to walk in the knowledge that it is already done. So one of the reasons why I say that is because a lot of times they're telling us that we need to be praying. And I say, if you're going to pray with thanksgiving. When you've spoken into existence that this is what you want, from that moment on, it's all about thanking God. Because you know that it's coming. But Amen. If every day you're right steady praying, and you're praying technically for the same thing, then you don't believe that it's going to happen, because you keep asking for something that you already have.
That's very interesting, Brother Messenger. It is, because you think about people who pray the same prayer every day, waiting for an answer. And if you just think about it, you're right. One or two things. Maybe you think God is hard-headed. Maybe you think that God's not listening to you. And if I keep asking, one of these will get through. But I am of the opinion that, again, prayer... Now, again, I don't knock it, but I mean, when you say pray for me, pray for yourself. Talk to yourself. Let's start there, because that's going to be the strongest prayer, the strongest words that you go into yourself and talk to yourself. Again, there's no interference there. That's pure conversation. But when we say prayer, I don't knock prayer, but I just want people to understand. Instead of always asking people to pray for you, just talk to yourself and tell yourself what's wrong. And there is no prayer that's going to be more powerful than that.
That is so true. And this is something, well, as we've had a discussion regarding, that is so true. Now, once I have had that conversation with God, then I automatically know that it's on its way. So what we have, that's why we have to turn to thanksgiving. We have to turn to giving thanks. Thank you. Thank you for the $1 million that you've given me. It didn't get here yet, but I know it's coming. Now, and once again, you know, I'm trying to be as real with this as possible, and I don't want people to take this as no game and stuff like that. Now they're going to wake up in the morning, thank you for the $2 billion or something. Mm-hmm. Not that it can't happen. You understand what I'm saying? Not that it can't happen, but it's this thing that Sister Carmen liked to say. Or if, when you're doing things to that nature, all you're really doing is just talking. That's all you're doing. So why spend your time? Why spend your time on something that is not necessary? Thank them. I thank you for the ability to get up this morning. That is a blessing.
Amen.
I thank you for the ability to go about my daily life, to do the daily things that I had scheduled for today. I thank you. I thank you for enough money to do what it is that I had to do.
Amen.
I didn't have enough to get done everything that I wanted to get done, but I thank you for what I did have enough to do. And I thank you because of the rest that I needed, I know it's on the way. When's the last time any of us on this podcast missed a meal?
Not me.
Not I.
That's Thanksgiving.
Amen.
That's Thanksgiving.
Amen.
And you know, we might joke about it, but there are some people that don't recognize.
Yeah.
But those same people, even though their meal might not have been what we think is a meal, they're still here today. And I use for an example, in Patterson, there's this one guy. He's home. I would have to say he's homeless. But he's been homeless and living out on the streets for the last at least 10 to 15 years.
Wow.
So a lot of things that we go acting like if we don't get, we going to die. Now, I use that as an example to show us that isn't so. It's part of the fallacy that we've been taught. It's part of the fallacy that has been given to us that, for instance, that person that is homeless. And we've been taught that the reason that person is homeless is because he has offended God. Or because the devil has taken control of him. And that's a fallacy. He is homeless because he chose to be homeless. What a person sow, so shall they reap. And now we might want to use for an example, there are some children or mothers and children that are homeless because of one reason or another. But when we look at it in its entire context, okay, we have to understand that that was a choice that they made as well. Because what a person soweth, so shall they reap. And I clear that up a little bit. When they're homeless with the children, it wasn't so much the children, but it was the leaders that made that conscious decision that brought them to that point.
That's right.
And even that is something that they can still endure. You've heard many stories about people at one time or another was homeless. Could you, what's the young lady that's a comedian now?
Tiffany.
She in every movie. What's your girl name?
Haddish. Tiffany Haddish.
Tiffany, yes. She talked about she was homeless.
Yep.
But she didn't give up. And look where she's at now.
Amen.
So, and I use her because it's just it's to let you know that what we've thought and the way we've looked at things, we've looked at them in the wrong way. We looked at them in a way that somebody else told us, and that somebody else just told us because that's what somebody else told them. So that does not make it religious. That does not make it God's word. That's just somebody's experience on what they took out of it. But that's not how it is for all. That's not how it is for anyone unless you choose to make it that way. How many people have been to the hospital and the doctors told you you'll never walk again? There's some people they told that to, and those people gave up and never walked again. And then there are some people that said, no, that's not so. I will walk. And then they walk. and we call it a miracle, but it is you, that person determining their life and not letting what other people say determine it. Because, as they said, we are the masters of our life. The problem is we try to be the master of our lives and everybody else's. But we have to understand that each life has a path that it must take. And this is why it's important as parents that we train up a child.
Amen.
Train up the child so that that child can make its own decisions, but with a little bit of better understanding. And then that child, the same as you, must learn how to rely on the spirit that dwells within them. Because it is that spirit that dwells within them that makes them who they really are. And so we need to, as Brother Paul wrote in the scriptures, we need to renew our minds, because we have been fed some stuff, and I won't say it's bad stuff, but it was just not the true essence of who we are and who God is. Jesus said that all good and perfect gifts come from God. He didn't say some. He said all.
Oh, amen.
Okay. So when you get somebody, and just as at the literal sense of it, when you give somebody a good gift, did you hear what I said? When you get somebody a good gift, where's it coming from?
God.
And it's the God in you. And this is the point that we've got to understand. If all good and perfect gifts come from God, and you give a good gift, then you are,
that's
it is God, that God that is within you.
Yeah.
When they say, I can do all things through Christ, which is the same as God, has strengthened me. What they mean by that is when you listen to what it is that your soul, God in you, when it tells you to do something and you do it, no matter what it is that it tells you to do it, you can't go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You see, but I think Brother Messenger, one of the biggest roadblocks there is people don't believe that God is in them. You know, see, that's step number one. We can't move from that step until you come to understand that fact. But, you know, when you still believe that you pray through Jesus to get to God because you can't talk to yourself or you can't talk to the Creator, as long as you hold on to that, then the concept that we are speaking of right now is kind of foreign to people. But I tell you, but I tell them, and I'll tell them every time I can, that all you have to do is just stop. And the awesomeness of once you wake up and realize who you really are, yeah, it's going to be a little mind-blowing. And when you put it into effect and see that it's for real, it's going to make you really question decisions you made earlier in life.
It really is, and funny you should say that, because today someone asked me a question. And when they were asking me the question, they were asking me the question with regarding the right thing to do. And as they were asking me the question with the right thing to do, the Spirit spoke to them and told them exactly what it is to do. And this is all we have to do is to be mindful of the God in us. He's God is there for us. We are God. So when we talk to ourselves, who is it that talks to themselves and won't answer themselves? You got to be a pretty mean person to do something like that. But
right.
Who is it that talks to themselves and don't get an answer? And so this is what we need to do. But one of the things we have to do is when we get that answer, then what we have to do is make another choice. Do I want to listen to that answer, or do I want to do it a different way?
Right.
But we have to understand, if we go that different way, we have to be ready for the consequences of what it is that's going to bring. Now, it might bring something that you like.
Mm-hmm.
But then it might not. But then don't turn around because it didn't bring the result that you wanted. Don't turn around and blame it on this character called the devil. Because then technically, you're the devil. Because you did it.
Mm-hmm.
But we so busy thinking that we got a little pitchfork, a long tail. We see that as the devil.
Right.
And we're quick to blame stuff on everybody else, but where it resides, and it resides within us. And until we can understand that and start making better choices depending on what it is that we're seeking to do. And I'm here to tell you, if you talk to yourself, and I don't mean to sound like that so that we can think that we're crazy or anything like that, but when you're talking to yourself, you're talking to the Creator. And when we all know that he hears everything, he knows everything. Why do you think he know everything? Why do you think he know your thoughts before you even know them? And I say he, but I'll change it to, why do you think she knows your thoughts before you even know them? She knows them because she is right where the thought becomes a thought within you. And if you really stop and think about, if you just do a quick recap of the experiences and stuff in your life, a lot of these times that we have these thoughts, the answer is already there. A lot of times we don't pay attention to that answer. Why? Because it's not the answer that we really wanted. But the answer is there. Would you agree with me on that, Sister Sunshine?
Amen, Brother Messenger. Amen.
Amen.
A pleasure to have you here with us tonight. But I just want us to understand just how much authority we have.
Sister Sunshine came in here with a whole lot of energy. I feel it, man. Ooh, I feel it.
I was saying amen. I had to unmute because I'm in the car. I had to say amen, amen.
All right.
But it's time for us. We've been talking about it, and we've been experiencing it. It's really time for us to start applying it. It's time for us to start walking in that. You've heard that song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Gonna Let It Shine." Well, that light that they're talking about is the Spirit of God. And so that Spirit, we need to let it shine. And how do you let it shine? By being obedient to it. Because when you are obedient to the Spirit, I guarantee you the highest, best person you can be is what's going to come out. Now, other people might not see it as the highest, best person in you, but once again, it's not about them. And eventually they will come to better understand it. But it's about you. You getting right with yourself. You being well pleased with how you have created a life that you wanted. And right now, we're not totally living the life that we really want. We're living the life that other people have pretty much pushed us into. And this is why it's so easy for us to be frustrated. It's so easy for us to feel downtrodden and to this nature, because we're not really living our life. We're living a life that we know mother would be proud of, or daddy would be proud of, or my boyfriend would be proud of, my girlfriend, my husband, my wife, anybody, my kids, anybody but us. And we've got to take back control of our lives, living the life that we choose to live. Even as far as when it comes to work, what we need to do, because we've got to find jobs that is truly satisfying to us. When we find that job that is truly satisfying to us, there is nothing that we can't do. We can enjoy that job, go there, be the best we can, and feel fulfilled. But when we've got the jobs that we don't like and it's dragging us down, and we hate going there. So then it becomes almost a chore to get up out of the bed in the morning. Because technically we're doing something that we don't really want to do. And as as they would say, the captain of my life, shouldn't I be doing what it is that I want to do?
Amen.
And so if you think about it, I'm sorry.
I was saying definitely we should, definitely.
If you think about the homeless people, we look down upon them, but they're doing what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So who is it that's really in a better state? We look at them because they don't have the house and the bills and all the responsibility, but we look at them as if they're the ones in worse shape than we are. But how many of us would love to not to have to pay a light bill tomorrow, or pay mortgage, or pay rent, or how many of us would love not to have that specific responsibility?
I second it. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, are we still going to be able to live?
But I want to kick my ass.
What was that?
What is this surprise? What's your name?
I second, but I want to keep my house.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
So if anybody wants to pay a light bill, donations are accepted.
All right, Sister Dippy.
All right, now you are aware that they do have programs out there that will pay your light bill.
I'm thinking of podcasts.
They don't do it every night, though. They don't do it every night.
Oh, my gosh. We can just pass a hat here. We got this.
That's what we're here for, to help one another.
Thank you.
So you say it in the kindest, jokingest way, but this is part of who we really are, because when we look at the bigger picture, when I help you the same way with your occurrence with the lady at the diner.
Oh, yeah. Yes,
she didn't need your money.
No.
But look what it did.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that unspeakable joy that we should be striving for. That's creating the best you. And
sure
just
is.
As you did that, we can experience that every day if we choose to. But we've got it twisted. We've got it twisted thinking that in order for us to be happy, we've got to have some things. In order for us to be happy, we've got to have a lot of money. In order for us to be happy, we've got to have that significant other. In order for us to be happy, we've got to have this big car. We've got to have this high-paying job. All of this to be happy. And technically, we've got it backwards. Because we can be happy with absolutely nothing. And when you're happy with absolutely nothing, all those other things can come.
Right. Mm.
But we're trying to, as they would say, we're trying to put the horse before the cart.
Uh-huh.
You don't need anything to be happy. All you need to be happy is to want to be happy, and you can be happy.
Amen.
How many times something didn't go just the way you wanted to go, and you said to yourself, I'm not going to let this get me down. I'm keep on trucking.
Many times.
You mm-hmm. made that conscious decision that right. wasn't going to bother you.
Right.
And we can do that with every single situation. Now, because of the structure of our lives, that's so much easier said than done, but we can do it. Because if we did it for that one particular thing, we can do it for another particular thing. We can do it. We can do all things through Christ, God, that strengthens us.
Yes, yes, indeed.
And if we are obedient to the Spirit, or if we're obedient to self, then we can feel that strength. It's when we go outside of self, when self tells you, no, it's not a good idea for you to go down the street, and you go down the street, then your strength isn't there. Your strength isn't there because you weren't through Christ that strengthens me. So your strength isn't there. Because why? Because you went contrary to what it was that it told you to do. But here's the beautiful thing about that. It doesn't change how they want you to think that because you didn't listen to God, now all of a sudden God's mad at you. He's not mad at you. She probably somewhere scratching her head trying to figure out, well, I tried to tell him. So as Jamie Foxx would say, go on and get it. But I'm still here. I love you. And soon as you decide you want to go the other way, then your strength comes back. Some people, just to break it down into a simpler term for us, some people's strength is writing, okay? Because their strength is writing, you can't expect them to be strong in reading. And once again, please understand, I'm just trying to use the simplest terms because you can be strong in both of them. But I'm just using it as an illustration to show you so that when you really want to bring forth the best in you is when you get a pen and paper in your hand. Then you can write up a storm. And if you're writing as the Spirit gives utterance to you, then it's even more powerful. Or, and I'll break this down for Nurse Carmen, even as you're cooking.
Mm-hmm.
How many of you had the opportunity to go in the kitchen and not really know what you're going to do? And then things mm-hmm. just started coming to you.
So enough.
And some of it that came to you didn't seem like it made any sense at all. But then when you had a taste of it, old taste and see.
Mm-hmm. All things work together for the good. Mm-hmm.
So I say that to us so that we can better understand just how much power and authority we have. And in order for us to be able to use that authority and to be able to live in that way, we've got to understand who we are.
And who are we, Brother Messenger?
We are all part of God's body. So we are all yes, part sir. Of God.
Amen.
So if I was to say to you, I am God, you would understand and accept that statement?
I would totally. Yes, you are. And I would say, hey, so am I.
Mm-hmm.
And when we say it and we're saying it in the right way, not in a I'm better than anybody else way,
no.
Then what will happen is when you say it, I'm going to feel something on the inside.
That's right. That's right.
Because that same God that's in you is in me. So when you say, I am God, the part of God in me is going to say, hey, so am I. So it's touching and agreeing with you.
That's right.
And we can lock horns and do some things. Because as we spoke about earlier, there is power in numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you take the pinky and then you add the ring finger and the middle finger, you could do a little bit more than you could do with the pinky. Not that the pinky can't get it done, but you could do a little bit more when you got the rest of the hand with it.
That's right.
So, but we've been taught that it's a bad thing, when technically it is the only thing. And I say to you, if you really want to experience a God moving, listen to gospel music. Listen to gospel music, whatever kind you like, but listen to gospel music. Gospel music is more about you being part of the body, like the opening song, but gospel music tells us more than what we interpret from the reading of the scriptures. Because the scriptures would have you think that you are filthy, undone, no good, and there's a possibility that God will never seek your face if you listen to the scriptures, unless you do a whole bunch of things. And you can't tell me in one breath that agape love means unchanging and nothing is required of you, but he has it, but then says that he'll lose it. Did you get that? We talk about how God is pure agape love. And he tells us that I love you, I'm with you always. But then when God says that, then we turn around and say always, except if you don't. Now, God didn't say that. We put that on
no.
there. And we
right.
believe that, except if you don't, more than we believe the actual word of God that I'm with you always.
Right.
And we don't understand that I'm with you always because there is no place else I can be but with you. Because I am you and you are me. But we think that we want, because we can't really get it out of our minds that God is not this man in the sky looking down, controlling each and every one of our lives. When we're able to get that out of our mind and understand that we are all part of the body of God, when we're able to get that out and understand that, then we can begin to do things. We've done some things before where haven't there been some people that were in really, really, really bad moods, and we came with that extra love and changed that person attitude?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We have power. We just have to consciously use it to change and make our lives better. And when I say our lives, I know at the point of saying it that it may sound as if it's being selfish, but in the bigger picture, it's not. Because each and every one of us know that the more happier we are with our lives, the more we want to share it.
That's right.
Somebody get $1,000. They ain't got a problem with sharing some of that.
Mm-mm.
As long as their light bill ain't more than $1,000. right? But they don't have a problem sharing it. And that's the way it is with love and happiness as well. So we've got to take that in consideration in our thinking, in our daily lives, by letting our light shine, because it is important so that men and women can see the God in us, so that they can see the God in us. And when they begin to see the God in us, then they're going to realize, well, you ain't no different than I am. And then they will let the God in them come out.
Amen.
And trust me, they can notice it. There's been many times, and I don't know why, it's not like I had a suit and tie and stuff on, but there have been many people that have seen me and automatically thought that I was a deacon or a preacher.
Yep. Yep. Sure enough.
Why did you ask him? Why you had that look like you was about to ask for offering?
I don't know. They ain't put nothing in the pan, but they was asking. And maybe they said he looked like he'd be ready to ask for offering. Maybe that was the case. I don't know. But you know, but when you let your light shine, people can notice it. People know who you are. They know there's a difference. Jesus left on record. He said, how will people be able to tell who you are? They'll be able to tell who you are by how you love one another.
Amen.
How you love one another and realizing that because I love you, everything that you do ain't going to be totally satisfying to me. But understanding that you are you and I am me, there has to be some kind of forgiveness in here. There's got to be some kind of understanding in here. But if you my friend, and you do one thing wrong, then all of a sudden I don't want to talk to you anymore and stuff. That's and where is the love? Where is the forgiveness? Where is the understanding? Where is the knowledge that just by the grace of God that wasn't me? And when I say just by the grace of God, meaning that just because you did listen to the Spirit within you, that wasn't you, the roles weren't changed. So I say that to us so that we know that we are so special, and we don't even know it, and we're doing special things and don't even know it. We're being a blessing to so many different people and don't even know it. And it's really, 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 really time for us to come to the knowledge and start being who it is that we should be. It looks like we've got a new caller in. I'm not sure who that is.
Yes, good evening, sir. How are you doing? My name is David.
Bless you, sir. If you could just speak up just a little bit.
Yeah, so good evening, sir. My name is David. Thanks for taking my call.
Bless you, sir.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I just wanted to ask you, are you a Christian, sir, or what religious belief are you guys talking about?
I do apologize. I just need you to speak just a little bit louder. I'm having a hard time hearing you.
No, I was just asking, are you a Christian, or what religion are you?
Well, I'll tell you, most of my life, I was a devout Christian. I actually served on the deacon board for 15 years. And my father, seven of my uncles, who were ministers. So I've been in the Baptist Christian foundation all of my life. And from being in there and hearing what they had to say and something within me said to me that there is more. That this example of who they're trying to tell us that God is just doesn't, for the lack of a better word, add up.
Mm-hmm.
In what way?
In what way? In the way that if God is all loving, all knowing, all understanding, when God put this together, are we to truly assume that He made a mistake? And not only did He make a mistake, He made a mistake, whereas because it is God's will that we all come together as one.
Not necessarily, but what's the main point that you're trying to get at when you talk about, you're trying to say that because God is supposedly all-loving and all-knowing and all-understanding, that He somehow made a mistake and that's your issue? Or what's your actual
issue?
No, I
know for a fact that He didn't make a mistake. I'm saying the way that we are interpreting man's words of the Bible is where the mistake comes in at. Because if you listen to what it is that the men that wrote these scriptures were telling you, they were giving you their experiences, their dealings, and stuff with God. And that's what they were giving us. And we took it literally as the word of God. And so that
okay,
was
so
mistake
what's,
number
what's
one.
The misinterpretation that you disagree with? Is it a particular sin, or what's the main issue that you have here?
Well, first of all, I don't come to understand the sin thing.
Sin is just a violation of God's law.
God's law? What law is that,
yeah.
My brother? Explain to me a law that you're referring to.
Oh, it's the law that's written in your heart and mind that you would know before you even knew anything about God. You knew intrinsically it was wrong to lie, it was wrong to steal, it's wrong to kill, it's wrong to take advantage of somebody or misuse someone. But what people do over time is, after they do it the first couple of times, their conscience gets weaker and weaker to the point where they're no longer bothered by doing the things that they know is wrong.
Okay, those things that you just named, my brother, I take those as coinciding with the Ten Commandments, per se, okay, the do not steal and all that. And I agree with those 100%. I just don't believe that they're commandments from God. What they are is just as you said, what they are, that is kind of the core, the essence of who God is. So when these things start to occur, you know that they're wrong because it's a built-in mechanism within yourself that lets you know that they're wrong. But if there were a commandment from God, if the quote-unquote Ten Commandments were a commandment from God, would you be able to do it?
Well, the Ten Commandments were specifically for the Israelites. When we talk about the moral law was before Moses. I mean, that was before the Mosaic Covenant. So that was universal to all mankind everywhere. No matter who you are, no matter where you're from, no matter what you believe, you intrinsically know the moral law of God within your heart, and you're personally accountable for that. So that's universal. That doesn't matter who you are, where you're from.
Okay, so we're saying, and correct me where I might misinterpret something that you said. So we're saying that God originally set up moral laws, and then once He set up moral laws, He came back, and then for a specific set of people, He set up Ten Commandments?
Yeah, because the Mosaic Law was a covenant between God and the nation of Israel, designed to create a holy nation separate from all the different cultures around them, which were obviously engaging in, you know, all type of pagan idolatry. They were doing all these ritual practices that God found abhorrent, like sacrificing their children to Molech, and you know, and how they were engaging in all matter of sexual morality, mistreating of the poor, and all that. If you've read the Bible, you can see that. So even the little things, like I don't know if you've read this, if you actually read the entire Deuteronomy and all that and all the laws there. I mean, it even has a law in there to the Israelites saying, do not put objects in front of blind people that cause them to fall. Like you and I today, we don't need to hear that to tell us, you know, you shouldn't do that. But apparently the Israelites were at such a state, and in that time period, mankind was in such a state that God actually had to make that a command, not to do that to a blind person, right? Not to mistreat an orphan or a widow, or not to steal a poor man's blanket when he's homeless. I mean, these, have you ever read the entire commandment that God gave to the Israelites?
Yes. Yes.
Right, so it's mostly things that today, you don't need to be told that today, because there's been a progression through civilization. So we're at a state now where someone doesn't have to come to you and tell you, you know what, you see that homeless guy sleeping there out in the cold, you shouldn't go steal his blanket. No one needs to tell you that because you live in a progressive society. But back then, God had to tell them that. I mean, think about that. That tells you where the state of man was at.
Yeah, but do you really think, I mean, and you, if you want to think that's fine, but do you really think that this progression of civilization that you say that we're in as opposed to them, where is it different at?
Well, that's
where is it that we are so... Where is it that we are so much more? And I'm not. I do not mean in our inventions and things of that nature, but in our general being, where are we so much different than them from that time?
Well, it's very easy. Back at that time, they had a very different idea of justice. For example, in that time period, we're talking about the time of Moses, which was around. We're talking potentially 1200, 1300, 1400 BC. At that time period, most civilizations then had a very ruthless form of justice where if I stole something from you, the equivalent oftentimes would be that you would come back and kill me or kill my family. And so the idea of meeting out an equal measure of justice, for example, the whole principle in the law of Moses saying an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, you know, a blow for a blow. And the principle that they try to give is to make justice equivalent to the crime committed. Whereas back then it was like, anything goes. If you wronged me in even the slightest way, I was justified in killing you, even if you insulted my family. And so when you talk about a society that was like that, that had such a low value of human life and had such a warped sense of justice, that's why God presented a law that most of the Levitical laws and in the Mosaic laws today, you would view that as common sense. You would think, well, of course you're not supposed to mistreat the poor or mistreat orphans or abuse someone or, you know, these are things you wouldn't even have to be told today because in our society today we've been so influenced by God's law and the moral code we have in Scripture, especially in the West, that this is just goes without saying today. I mean, you have to understand, all through our history, there's been a progression in the value of human life and the amount of rights that an individual human being has. And we see that.
And you don't think we're in this state now that we don't value, a lot of people don't value lives today?
Well,
Lord, you think we're not in that state right now? What's going on in the world?
How it was, ma'am. You got to look at history. Now, if you look at history, the idea, for example, let's take in America, right? Let's say in America we have something called the First Amendment. Yet the ability to express whatever views and ideas you want to the point where you can be critical of the leaders of the country, and you can engage in whatever religious activity you want or non-religious activity, you can assemble in whatever way you want. This is that right in itself is so rare in human history. And very few people in the history of mankind have ever had a right like that. Where in the past, and in many places still today, if you were to get on this radio program and say something bad about the government or talk bad about the president, there'd be a pretty good chance that tomorrow you'd either be in prison or murdered. And that's where my family came. My family came from a communist country where, you know, I had my entire mother's side of the family killed by the government because they disagreed with what the government was doing. Both my grandparents, all of my mother's siblings, with the exception of her younger brother, were murdered because they disagreed with the actions the government was taking. Now, you don't know that today in America. You can get on this radio program, talk about Donald Trump, talk about senators, congressmen, anything. You're not afraid that tomorrow someone's going to kill you.
Excuse me. Hey, my brother, I do apologize, but my show is about over. But we will be back here on Thursday. I would love for you to come back and we can finish this discussion because it's important, because there are some things that you said that I'd really like to shed some light on. I hear what it is that you're saying, but I don't believe, and that's just me, I don't believe that you are seeing the bigger picture. And I hear what you're saying, and I'm not trying to discourage anything that you're saying. I ask that if at all possible, if you could come back Thursday at 10 o'clock and we can finish this discussion. I love to have meaningful dialogue just so that we can share and better understand. Okay, my brother, if you would do that, I would greatly appreciate it. All right?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Thank you very much for letting me be on the show. I appreciate it.
Hey,
that.
Thank you so much. And I look forward to you coming back on Thursday at 10 o'clock.
And good evening to everyone. I want to say we had an interesting podcast. I thank the caller for calling in. And it's always beautiful closing the show out with my mother. Hey, everyone have a wonderful evening. And remember, let's keep Jesus on the forefront. So while others are coming into the knowledge of an existence that we already have, let's let our light shine so we may be a light unto others. Hey, good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
And Thursday,
guys.
We're gonna Thursday and Saturday going forward, okay? Thursday, a half an hour. Sunday, an hour.
Thursday, Sunday, we got it.
Amen.
Good night.
Good night.